I'm going to talk a little bit about the Goldberg variations now. Yeah. People can come as they wish. Now, the Goldberg variations are officially, they have the title Aria with 30 Variations. And the aria is a nice slow melody at the beginning. And then the fireworks start with the variations. And every movement, every variation is built on the same skeleton, the same harmonic skeleton, which is in your handout, the bottom of your handouts. So I would recommend that you look at that and watch that as we play along here. The skeleton, and what you hear is the ornamentation of that. It's kind of like the fleshing out of those bones. You could call it jazz, but I think Bach wouldn't have known what you were talking about, but I think we do. Yeah, sure, these are all variations, and but they're so carefully worked out, and if you go into them as an analyst, you know, you see what's going on here, and read the actual names of each variation, you discover that that he's doing counterpoint, he's doing inverted counterpoint, he's doing retrograde counterpoint, he's doing canonic variations, he's doing the kind of things that really only a genius can do with this thing. Yeah, did you have a... Oh, this is Andras Schiff. It could be Glenn Gould. You know, I mean, every great pianist has tackled these things, and Gould did it twice. But you can hear that on YouTube if you want. I'm not aware of that dimension. I do know that. The imitation that goes on and the counterpoint here is second to none in terms of quality and imaginativeness. So, when I think to myself, you know, in terms of the theme of today's talk, which is finding the sacred in the secular, Bach was living in a double world. He was awfully anxious to make it big as a Telemann, as a kind of a secular composer with a big, cushy court appointment. And he never quite managed to do that. And at the end of his life, the last 20 years or so, the best he could do, besides begetting 20 children, was a church job. He was a maestro di cappella. He was the director of the Thomaskirche in Leipzig, Germany, and so they wanted him to write cantatas, sacred music. But of course, if you know anything about sacred and secular, you realize that many of these cantatas have like secular concerto movements that were just ported and carried into that. And they throw some sacred words in and make it a sacred chorus, right? But by golly, Handel did that, Bach did that, they all did that. They all kind of carried their stuff from one domain to the next. If it works here, it'll work there, kind of, you know. And so they weren't hung up on this idea of sacred as being something separate from or special to, you know. Well, I'm going to invite Ann back because she has some useful, quick information to provide us, and then the second part.
Well, sorry to drag you away from the music.
Oh, you won't. We'll be back.
Yeah. Yes. But we want to give our thanks to the Orange Group for providing our wonderful snacks today. And to give warning to the green group, that means me and a bunch of other people, that we're on for next week. Next week we have the chapter on art as spirituality, and I want to let you know that we will have a table over there for you to bring art that you have done that represents your passion. And don't think of it just in sort of highbrow things. I understand, well, you may have some flower arrangements. So anything that, you know, brings out the artist in you and that you would like to share with us, we would love to have it. So bring that next week, too.
Great.
Okay.
Thank you. Carol Ann, would you like to come back? Okay. Well, let's see. We are going to look at Kern and Hammerstein. Am I right?
Yes. When Jerome Kern and Oscar Hammerstein teamed up on a song, wonderful things happened. One good example of their collaboration is this over-the-top song about just how fabulous the significant other in our lives can be. All the things you are is a declaration of love so rich in superlatives and so flattering to the beloved that it almost takes our breath away. It ends with these lines of impatient expectation. Someday my happy arms will hold you, and someday I'll know that moment divine when all the things you are mine. There are some good examples of God as a lover yearning for us in Scripture, too. In the Canticle of Canticles, for instance, we read in the fourth chapter a poetry that says, in effect, "You have stolen my heart, my sister, my bride. You have stolen my heart with one glance of your eyes. How delightful is your love, my sister, my bride. How much more pleasing is your love than wine and the fragrance of your perfume than any spice." Here is a secular, musical way of celebrating such love. And it's close enough to Valentine's Day to make it apply to all of us.
Hey. Oh, that's so sensuous. I'm having to fan myself. This is...
Every time I sing songs like this, you know, I can't help but to think, wouldn't it be just such a lovely thing for somebody to actually say those words to you? You are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long, darling Carol Ann. If you find one out there, let me know.
Well, here we go. All the things, and is this one that's in there?
Yes,
you're allowed to sing along if you want to. Okay.
It's not an easy song to sing, though. I'm just going to warn you about that.
Of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long, and you are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song. The angel glow that lights a star, the dearest things I know are what you divine, when all the things you are mine.
You, everybody, are the promised kiss of springtime that makes the lonely winter seem long.
Oh, you sound beautiful.
You are the breathless hush of evening that trembles on the brink of a lovely song.
You are the angel glow that lights our star. The dearest things I know are what you
gets extra money when she gets high notes, you know. That. Yep. There's a meter running in the background.
That's right. The experience of having our horizons opened up by someone special in our lives can be very memorable. In his poem, The Sparrow's Nest, Wordsworth recalls how his sister played that role for him by opening his capacity to be aware. He writes, "She gave me eyes, she gave me ears, and humble cares and delicate fears, a heart, the fountain of sweet tears, and love and thought and joy." There's a terrific miracle story in Scripture where Jesus literally opens a deaf mute's ears and mouth and empowers him to speak. It's in Mark's chapter 7. They brought to him a deaf man who had an impediment in his speech, and they begged him to lay his hand on him. He took him aside. Then looking up to heaven, he sighed and said to him, "Ephphatha," that is, "be opened." And immediately his ears were opened, and his tongue was released, and he spoke plainly. Most of us will never experience a miracle quite as powerful as that, but we can still feel the joy of being opened up by the power of true love. Meredith Willson captured it in this famous song, "Till There Was You," from the 1950s hit musical The Music Man, where the pretend bandmaster, Howard Hill, is redeemed by the love and confidence of Marion the librarian.
Let's hear it for librarian.
That's right. Thanks to her, the make-believe maestro is finally able to hear and see the beauty all around him as he sings, "There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ringing. No, I never heard them at all, till there was you. There were birds in the sky, but I never saw them winging. No, I never saw them at all, till there was you." Please feel free to sing along on this one, too, if you'd like.
We have to pay them to do that?
Well, if you sing high notes.
Oh, God. Well, I can't afford it.
But if you leave them to me, then they'll just be paying me for them. So, whoever they are, I don't know.
Well, we have a grandson who's about yay big, or is it a granddaughter? That's a granddaughter, right, Ann? I sometimes get the sexes mixed up.
What has Tom been drinking this morning, I wonder?
And she sings this, doesn't she? She sings. She sings the "Till There Was You." Yeah, she doesn't have quite the emotional connection to the words yet, but she'll get there, right? Yes. Okay.
There were bells on a hill, but I never heard them ring. No, I never. But I never saw. and there was music, and there were wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadows of dawn and dew, there was love all around, but I never heard it singing. No, I never heard it at all till there was you.
And there was music, and there were wonderful roses. They tell me in sweet, fragrant meadow of dawn and dew.
There was love all around, but I never
they're so good. I don't know.
I know. You're all so good.
Maybe Las Vegas next.
Maybe.
A couple of buses out
I
here.
I could have stayed home today.
Oh, good. Okay.
Holding another's hand can be deeply meaningful at times. In some traditional cultures, when a woman holds the hand of a man publicly, it means that their marriage is impending. Gestures often speak louder than words. There's a biblical episode that takes place on a rough sea of Galilee. It puts Peter's faith to test. Had he not held hands with Jesus, he would probably have perished. This episode occurs in Matthew 14. So Peter got out of the boat, started walking on the water, and came toward Jesus. But when he noticed the strong wind, he became frightened and beginning to sink. He cried out, "Lord, save me!" Jesus immediately reached out his hand and caught him. Nice catch. Let's consider a secular song lyric by Stephen Sondheim, one of the masters, that alludes to this same gesture, holding hands. Tony and Maria, the star-crossed lovers in West Side Story, imagine a better place when they sing the classic words, "There's a place for us. There's a time and a place for us. Hold my hand and we're halfway there. Hold my hand and I'll take you there."
There's a place for us. Somewhere a place for us. Peace and quiet and open air wait for us somewhere. Together with time to spare, time to look, time to care. Someday, somewhere, we'll find a new way of living. We'll find a way of forgiving. Somewhere. breath. Hold my hand and I'll take you there.
I think we're coming towards the end of our program here.
Well, still have a little bit left there.
Rodgers and Hammerstein's 1945 musical Carousel was boldly spiritual for its time, opening with a scene of Billy Bigelow polishing stars in the afterlife. Gradually, it takes us back in time to the ups and downs of his earthly life on the coast of New England. The song, You'll Never Walk Alone, is a response to a tragedy. Julie, the heroine, has just lost her husband, Billy, who, depressed at being out of work, took his own life. How contemporary a dilemma. The 23rd Psalm is a biblical way of expressing how God is always walking with us, even in the darkest of times. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. For anyone who has suffered truly devastating difficulties in life, You'll Never Walk Alone provides comfort and reassurance. It restates the same kind of message that Irving Berlin gave us in Always. Days may not be fair. That's when I'll be there. Here then is You'll Never Walk Alone.
You walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on through the wind, walk on through the rain, though your dreams be tossed and bloom. Walk on, walk on with hope in your heart, and you'll never walk alone. You'll never walk alone. When you walk through a storm, hold your head up high, and don't be afraid of the dark. At the end of a storm is a golden sky and the sweet silver song of a lark. Walk on. Oh!
Thanks, Carol Ann. Oh, we got about 200 encores, but we yeah, I keep you here all day. Actually, we have just about 10 minutes or so when we could tap into the collective wisdom that's here. I always love hearing from the audience, because you see things that we don't see, and sometimes we see things you don't see, and that's kind of how we nourish each other. So I'm going to invite anyone to come up and add a comment here or give us some more insights. Thank you. And I suppose we could be talked into one more song if we need it. Yeah.
Thank you. This was wonderful.
I'm
full of tears, and I'm speaking from my heart. This last song was my grandmother's wedding song.
Oh, my.
And it means so much to me. She was my enduring, universal, unconditional love. And to try to come back down to earth, I had a new insight into what may be called sentimentality, in essence. We were on our journeys of sentimentality, weren't we? But it's in a beautiful sense to me. I just came to this awareness with this thought. Sentimentality is compassion for our very own past. And so I leave you with that.
It proves we're human, doesn't it? Thank you. Thank you, John. Yeah, that's a very human reaction, and we appreciate that very much. Anyone else who'd like to come up and talk? Give us a share. Don't do it from the chair. Come on up, yeah, so we can record it.
I just never thought of a straw hat as a musical instrument.
I sing a couple of Maurice Chevalier tunes when I'm pressed.
You know, he's taken some voice lessons from me. You know, the hat is part of singing well.
She...
it's a vocal technique.
I certainly can do that. Yes, I really can. You know, I don't have my book of lyrics with me, and one of the things that I often use when I go someplace to sing, you know, is to entertain, actually. And they say that I'm good enough to get paid for it. I'm surprised. They give me gas money to show up at these places and sing. But one of the things that I show up with is a book of lyrics. I don't need the music. I know that. I don't need the chords. I know that. I do need the lyrics. But maybe with a little help from you, we could manage to go through this. Now, there's a song that Chevalier made famous, and it's called Louise. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees, and this is an interesting verb, seem to twitter Louise. Now, twitter, it pre-existed see, this goes way back to the beginning of the 20th century. So let's see if we can try that. Every little breeze seems to whisper Louise. Birds in the trees seem to twitter Louise. Each little tells me I know I love you, love you. Every little beat that I feel in my heart seems to repeat what I felt from the start. Each little law tells me, Etta, I love you, Louise. I'm faking it. G Just to see and hear you brings joy I never knew. But to be so near you thrills me through and through. Every minute that I needed your love or something, da 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 da. But the wonder is this, can it be true someone like you could love me, Louie? Hey. So, anyway, let's have some more collective wisdom. I got a nice microphone up here waiting for you to tell us what it is about secular and sacred that is getting less and less meaningful now as we kind of inhabit a world where the spirit is always there. And, you know, here comes Anna.
Well, everybody's just moved by this music. You almost can't sit down and you can't stop singing. But I particularly love the way you took scripture and wove the story, parables, and different parts of scripture into these songs. I'll never hear these songs again without thinking of that. So I want to hear another one.
Well, you can go to Amazon and look up an album called, it's called Secular Songs for Sacred People. And wouldn't you know, you can download it. I mean, you know, it's so stick it on your cell phone and then you've got it if you want. And
would you like to offer another up-tune?
An up-tune, what have you got?
It seems like you would all like something up, is that correct?
Yeah.
An up-tune.
What about, like, I've Got Rhythm or something?
Oh, boy, this is Gershwin, huh? Can Gershwin be considered sacred? I mean, how about I've Got Rhythm, I've Got Music, I've Got My Friends. We'll be universal, okay? Okay. Let me get this amp on. Here we go. Okay. I got rhythm. I got music. I got my friends.
I got my friends. Who could ask for it? Who could ask for
it? Thank you. It was such fun being here. And we will see you next week. Right.